This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The United States reached a record this week, more than 100,000 new COVID-19 cases in one day, and then promptly smashed that record the next day with over 120,000 new cases. North Carolina's mirroring this national trend and set its own daily record today with just over 2,900. Hospitalizations have also remained at more than 1,000 in the last month. Many public health experts say we are deep in the second wave of the pandemic. Rose Hoban is a reporter and editor for North Carolina Health News and joins us now. Welcome back, Rose.
Hey, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I know that you cover health, and health is a political issue, so I'm curious, because we're still waiting for the final results from Tuesday, but there were certainly decisive winners in North Carolina, including Governor Roy Cooper. Do you think this re-election or his re-election was a referendum on how he handled the pandemic?
Well, if you look at all of the polling that's taken place since the spring, Cooper has had approval by a majority of people, including lots and lots of Republicans, for his handling of the pandemic. He's been, I've quipped to reporters that I know in other states that he's been boringly slow. He hasn't been dramatic. It's been very steady and slow and almost plodding, but very deliberate in just kind of, as he says, turning this dimmer switch. And there he's gotten approval from voters in the sense that about a third of people think he's gone too fast. He's done too much, but everyone else is kind of either okay or thinks like he's gone too slow. So he's kind of seemed to have solved that Goldilocks problem, and it seems like voters rewarded him for it on Election Day.
Yeah, that said, but then it's interesting. So you see high approval, and he wins re-election at a time when it is very much, much closer when it comes to the Senate and the presidential race. But what do you make of the apparent ticket splitting that happened on Tuesday? Democratic governor won clearly, but now it's we've got certainly a lot more votes for the Senate candidate, Republican Senate candidate and presidential candidate, who very clearly had different views on how to handle COVID. What do you make of all that?
Well, I think, you know, President Trump has his partisans who really like him. And I don't think there's a huge disconnect between people who think that, you know, because there's a lot of people who are in the Trump camp who kind of say, oh, he's full of bluster, you know, but we really like what he's doing. So I think there's probably, we actually talked to some folks on Election Day, and they were pretty much in that camp. You know, they were a pair of Republicans who were at a polling place in Chatham County. They were wearing their Make America Great Again hats along with a face mask. Mm. So, you know, they really, I think they said that Trump's job is to be a cheerleader, but I'm sure that they were an older couple, and I'm sure they felt that, you know, and they didn't say how they'd voted for governor, but yeah, I think that it's not inconceivable that people could like Trump and also feel like Cooper has done a decent job.
How are politicians in North Carolina interpreting the election results on other issues, particularly, let's say, Medicaid expansion?
Well, then you've got that, because Governor Cooper is saying that his reelection is a referendum that people want to see Medicaid expansion, whereas Senate Leader Phil Berger, he's the majority leader, and he's been a staunch opponent of Medicaid expansion. And in a press conference on Wednesday, when asked about the possibility of it, he kind of was just like, next question. So it seems pretty clear that he hasn't moved off of his place, and he has interpreted it, or his press team has sent out releases basically saying that their interpretation of the General Assembly outcome is that people like the status quo, and the status quo does not include Medicaid expansion.
Yep.
So it's the same argument we've had for the past 4 years, right, with Cooper and the legislature.
All right. Well, let's take a look at COVID-19 in North Carolina now. How are we doing?
Well, things are creeping up. The case level seems to be just keeping to creep up. As you noted in the introduction, we had a high yesterday, which is really kind of there's a lot of disease circling out there. And so the question is, what's going to happen as we go forward into the holiday season when it's colder and more people are inside? And it seems pretty clear that these are all small groups where the disease is spreading. You know, I had a conversation last night with a friend of mine who's a physician and had gone to visit her parents. And it turns out her parents, and, you know, she and her husband had done all the quarantining, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out her parents gave it to her. Mm. The good news, well, the middling news is that our rate of positive cases is crept up, but it's creeping. So even though we have a lot more cases, the amount of people who are positive out there is only still hovering around 7%, which is more than Secretary Cohen and the governor would like to see. It's less than what it was this summer when we had the more spread, when we had hospitalizations where they are now. So it's kind of a mixed bag. You can't look at just one metric. I mean, we had all those cases because we're doing a whole heck of a lot of testing right now. I want to say we did more than 40,000 tests yesterday.
So. Right, but that percentage, that 7%, is those who test positive. So it doesn't
correct.
Matter how many. I mean, if you've got a 7%, which is a little higher than everybody wants, to test positive among those tested, right?
Right, right, exactly. But when people kind of go, oh my gosh, we've got this record high number of cases
right, the number.
In a day,
right.
You know, really what you need to look at the denominator. You always need to look at what's that a number over. So we did a lot of tests. We had a lot of cases, and it's kind of still right around 7%, which, mm-hmm. again, is higher than our public health officials would like to see, but it's not as high as it was this summer at the peak. I'm starting to feel emails from readers like, are we going to go back? Are we going to have more of a shutdown? And I keep saying to them, I don't know the mind of the governor,
right.
And I don't know what they're going to do, but this stuff is definitely of concern. But I mean, we're not having spikes like places like El Paso where they're running out of hospital beds. And
well, let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about the impact on hospitals and even the case death rate. How are we doing there compared to early in this pandemic?
Again, you know, I haven't looked at the death rate. I have not put it over a denominator. We had ironically, on Election Day, we had a record high of 67 people who died. You know, I had a conversation earlier in the week with someone at one of the ICUs in the Triangle who said to me, if we had 4 influenza cases come in, and he's a pulmonologist, and he reminded me that, you know, frequently ICUs are filled with flu cases every fall, and now there's a lot of COVID cases. And he said to me, if we got 4 flu cases today, my ICU would be full. So, you know, there is more hospital capacity than I think initially, because physicians are doing a better job at treating COVID. They've kind of figured out some things that work. You know, early on, it was like, boy, we need to ventilate early. And now they're saying we can hold off on ventilation if we do high flow oxygen by either nasal cannula, which is the little things up your nose, or by a face mask, and Decadron, dexamethasone. We've got remdesivir. There's a proning, putting people in the prone position to help their lungs expand. So there's a number of things that physicians are doing that are providing with better outcomes. Nonetheless, when you have that many cases out there, you're still going to have a lot of death.
Right. Right. So let's talk about what to do, because now, no matter how many cases we've got, the holidays are right here. And I know that in a briefing, Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Mandy Cohen shared a preview of the holiday recommendation. So what should we be doing?
Well, I mean, she talked about being outside if you can. If you're going to be inside, wearing your mask the whole time, except, of course, when you're eating and drinking. It's hard to do that when you're wearing a mask. But then at that point in time, you know, try and separate people. I was talking to someone yesterday who said, well, geez, who's got it? Who's got enough space, you know, in their dining room? Well, maybe everyone eats on their laps and you push your chairs back in your living room and you give yourself lots of space. You open a window. That was something that Dr. Cohen mentioned as well, opening a window, maybe having a fan that allows for ventilation. I mean, it's going to be challenging as we get into the colder weather to do this kind of thing. I know, you know, in some senses we're fortunate in that our winters tend to be pretty temperate. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in Wisconsin right now, right? I think that's part of what's happening in Wisconsin is that people are inside. Yeah. Then, you know, we have more data now about how COVID can remain airborne. And think about it, on a winter's day, when you've got the heat on and the sun's coming through your window, you can see the dust motes floating, right? So this is partly similar to how COVID can stay airborne in the air. And especially when you have a dry climate, like right. Inside your house.
Inside the house with that heat on. Well, I can solve two problems now from the holidays because of this. The two problems are, of course, the family arguments over politics and then the close quarters. What you do is you have two meals, two dinners, one for the Trump voters and then one for the Biden voters. That cuts the population down and, reduces the arguments. Think about it, Rose. You can put it in your next newsletter. Rose Hoban is the editor and reporter of North Carolina Health News. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Frank. I'll keep your idea in abeyance.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.